Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday, the 23rd of April. My goodness, it's almost May. I remember moving down here to Reading on May 15th was the day I arrived. 2015 is when I was here. So the 15th, 5-15-15, interesting. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today. We had a good time yesterday, and I kind of am waiting to see what the Lord wants to do for today. But I have something planned. We all have a plan. Sometimes God changes it, and I got that kind of feeling in my heart today. Okay. Anyway, let's go through this. I got some books for sale. One is called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. It's a testimony and some resources on bringing soul health to you. David said, "Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me? Put your hope in God." And that's what these resources do. Has some practical things that you can do to help bring your soul, back into health. And then I have, this is my first book I wrote back in 2000, and I think it got 2018 is when it came out. And it's a 50-day journey into the heart of God. It's a journal. It is a devotional that you can do basically what you do is you're able to go through these things. It's interactive, and you can get to practice hearing the word of the Lord, hearing God's voice in your life. Another book I really strongly urge, there's so many of them. When Heaven Invades Earth is one of them. Another one is True Stories of Azusa Street and Beyond by Tommy Welchel. It's basically, he talked to a lot of the Azusa Street people at Pisgah in California at a retirement center back in the 60s, early 60s, late 50s. And he got their stories and he wrote them down and things that had happened. I told you that I had the opportunity to meet with a woman every Saturday. Not personally, but it was in a youth group setting. She came and spoke with us every Saturday. She was 96 years old. She was at Azusa Street. Also, I want you to get this book, When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson, is a tremendous book that you can get. Hosting the Presence of the Lord, yeah. I mean, you can get all these books. Just email me, tomandsarah@outlook.com. I'll get you a list of books you may want to read, especially Defining Moments that talks about revival and the legacy that these revivalists had left for us. Another book I want you to get literally revolutionized my prayer life, Questions for Jesus by Tony Stolfus. Stolfus is a tremendous man, tremendous teacher. And I strongly urge you to get that book. You can get them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. Probably can get them, Bethel.shop. Can't get my books on Bethel.shop yet, but hopefully soon that will come out. So I want to welcome you today. We're going someplace with the Lord. We're going places with God. And that's the purpose of why I do these things every day. All right. I want you to like, share, comment, subscribe to my YouTube channel, podcasting channel. So praise God. We're going to do this thing and we're going to get it together. Praise God. We left off yesterday talking about revival and revival history, not revival history necessarily, but that there is a harvest that is coming. All right. There's a harvest that is coming, all right? And we have to recognize that this harvest that's coming, I want to tell you, we have to prepare the way for the Lord in this harvest. I mentioned yesterday about Jonah. And, Jonah got upset because God relented of destroying Nineveh. Yeah, hello. The deal was that Jonah, and you know the story, but I'm going to iterate some of it. And the story is that, and the account is that Jonah was in Nineveh, or he was in Tarsus, I think. And then what he did was he got on a boat. God told him to go to Nineveh and tell them that, you know, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. He didn't want to do it. So he got on this boat, went in the opposite direction. There was a major storm. And the storm was wrecking the ship. And Jonah said to the people, hey, listen, it's my fault. Throw me off the boat. So he throws him off the boat and this great fish. We don't necessarily know if it was a whale, but it was a great fish. It was huge. Swallowed him whole. And I've never been swallowed by a great fish before. But if it swallowed me whole, I probably would have digestive juices all over me. He was in the belly for 3 days. And he was praying. And this great fish threw him up on the shores of Nineveh. And the worst part was, I mean, I don't know who saw him or whatever, but the deal was that he had to have had like people looking at him like seaweed coming off of his ear, you know, hanging on here and maybe hanging off of his hair, white from the digestive juices. I don't know, but it was kind of funny. And then so he starts preaching 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The deal is that the king got wind of this message. And instead of dismissing Jonah, he went ahead and had the whole nation repent. Had the whole nation repent. Our nation, the United States of America, has to repent of how we've treated the unborn, how we've treated the victims, how we've treated the victimizers. Not necessarily that the victimizers get away with this stuff, but that they have to be forgiven as well. I heard this story yesterday of Rwanda. You remember back in the 90s that Rwanda had this major genocide thing where these young men came in and killed the men in villages, raped the women and children. And it was just disgusting. Much like what's happening around the world today. And so what happened was these women forgave, and I'm missing a lot of the story. I don't know much more about the story, but I'll just tell you what I know. These women forgave these men, these kids, and actually took them in and adopted them as sons and trained them on how to live. The president got wind of it, and that's what he did. And you know, the kids repented, the widows, they had, the widows were forgiving, took them in and discipled them. Tremendous, tremendous account of some things that had happened. I don't know if you've ever read the book Anointed for Burial, but the Khmer Rouge back in the 70s in Cambodia, I think it was Cambodia, they were having genocide. I mean, there's genocide going around the entire world right now. Suicide is rampant around the world right now. I remember a friend of mine and I, there was a major hurricane that was coming in to Texas. And we were asked by the Lord to pray, to have the Lord's hand stay on this hurricane, to push it away. And so we were praying and we were praying. And he and we prayed every day about this hurricane. And it was going right into some of the heaviest areas of Texas. The strongest winds that there could be. So we were praying and we were praying for a violent left-hand turn by this hurricane. And the hurricane made a left-hand turn, miracle. The hurricane made the left-hand turn and went into some of the, it did hit, I think, Galveston. But, it went into some of the driest areas of Texas and Mexico and watered that ground. And water was given to them. There is a tribe, and I'm not going to mention who they are. There was a tribe that in near Russia, if not in Russia, and that's how you stay vague, in that area, that had a big lake. And the Russians came in and emptied this lake out. And I believe that the water of the Lord is going to start to water this place once again. And we get to see natural revivals. I remember, I can't remember his first name, Samyanga, back in the 90s, was at the GLOW, the Women's GLOW, sharing about a couple of places. One was Uganda, and the other one was Fiji. Revival, national revivals. How Uganda, the churches would come together and pray. They started to pray for America. They invited pastors from America to come and pray over them. In Fiji, the color of the country was dingy. It was like a 1930s movie. And it was no color. The vegetation was messed up bad. And what happened was this vegetation, alongside the water was poisoned. So there was nothing growing. There was no grass. The trees were dying out. The flowers were almost non-existent. The country was gray. And the president or the prime minister of the nation of Fiji had all the churches, the pastors of the churches, come together and locked the pastors in the room and said, "You guys have got to come into unity because that's the only thing that's going to save our nation." And so the pastors got themselves together. They got themselves into unity, forgave one another, repented, and ended up being, the water was healed. The land was healed. You know, in Romans, it talks about the all of creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. And God is did that for this nation. The land was desolate and God restored it. He makes roadways in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. There is a revival about ready to take place, and we have to be ready. In Ezekiel, I think it's 39 or something like that, 47, 37, talks about this army that Ezekiel, what do you see? I see dry bones. They were very dry. Not just dry, but they were very dry. An army had been defeated, left to rot, and it was nothing but dry bones. What do you see, man of God? I see bones, very dry bones. The world has been dry. The world has been crying out. Creation is crying out for the revealing of the sons, and we've been hiding as if we've done something wrong by becoming Christians. Revival is about to take place, and if we don't jump into this thing and pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to prepare the way of the Lord. Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. Prophesy to the dry bones. In other words, speak the word of God. And I mean, there's a lot of Negro spirituals. There's a lot of there's some songs about the dry bones coming together. The bones started rattling, you know, and all that. All of a sudden, he's prophesying life to these dry bones. And the thing was that these bones came together. How they knew which bone went together is a miracle in and of itself. It said that the bones came together, sinew came together, flesh came together, skin came together, and raised up a mighty army. The church has been desolate for so long and griping at each other. It's time to stop and be who God had wanted, and does want us to be. The prophets are starting to speak up. The apostles are starting to speak up. We got to stop giving the little ear tickling words of prophecy and start hearing God for somebody else, hearing God for yourself, and acting on it. I'm saying these things not because I'm upset, but because I feel that there is a fire that God wants to pour out on this nation and on the nations of the world. The Western society has denied the Lord. They've pushed God off to the side because of their quote intellect. They may have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. I want to get some people mad at me today. I was talking to this guy. He was talking about global warming. I'm like, what global warming? Prove it. The temperature of the water is going up. I said, yeah, based upon what? Now, I do know this, and one of the things that I've noticed is that when concrete is built, especially in major cities, and I don't know this part, but I just kind of feel like there is a high pressure system that is built from the radiation of the sun off of the cement. So cities are starting to get it in their head. We need to plant trees to take some of that oxygen. Plant trees to take up the oxygen and filter the air. People in Fairbanks, Alaska aren't seeing any global warming. 62 below zero? My goodness. Here in California, Northern California, it's been cooler in the wintertime. I believe this, that everything, all the nations go through, all the countries of the world go through an ebb and flow of heat and cold and heat and cold, and it balances each other out. God is calling people to be people of God. He wants people to become born again. He didn't die for nothing. The Bible says that if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, then our faith is vain. It's useless. But Jesus did rise from the dead. That's why there's such an attack on the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, they're even trying to make it so that Jesus didn't exist. So take away Josephus, the Jewish historian. Didn't believe in Jesus, but he mentions him in his book. Let's make the world billions of years old. It can be if you believe, the thing is, I believe that God did not create the earth in an infant state. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in a mature state. So that's why it would seem like it was around longer. But the earth has only been around for 5,000-6,000 years. That's it. Science is starting to prove that the Bible is true. You can look at all the other gods in the entire world right now, all the religions of the world, all of them, and there's only one God that raised from the dead, and that was Jesus. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And you have the power, and you have the authority, and you have the anointing as a believer in Jesus, as a true believer, not just somebody who has this mental ascent, but somebody who's given their life over to Jesus, that you have this. You have this God who created the heavens of the earth inside of you, and he's making the nations ready for you to share with them. All creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons. Since the foundation of the world, Romans 1:20, his invisible attributes, his divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that nobody has an excuse. Well, what about the poor African that never heard? I'm telling you, he knows more because he sees what's happened and he's going for it. He sees this tree, this cloud formation, this field, this the animals. And he says, something bigger than me created this. Someone, and it always points to God. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here for you to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and he's sending you out into a lost and dying world that desperately needs him. One of the things that I've noticed in my 51 years of being a believer is that the Western world is more closed to the spiritual things than any other society. The so-called third world nations are more open to the Spirit of God than the first world nations. Because the first world feels entitled and that they know it all. I often say that my dad got smarter every year. Every year that I grew up, my dad got smarter. I used to think I knew it all in my 20s. Now I'm finding out I'm only in kindergarten with what I know. And God continually expands that. It is time to go out into this world, to be like this woman at the well who was lost in sin. Jesus encounters her. She goes back to her town and says, come and meet the man who has told me everything about my life. They came out and they see Jesus, and then he stays in their town for a while. The first revival they have in Jesus was a woman preacher. That'll destroy some people's theologies. Get serious with God, folks. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Bible. Get into prayer. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, become intimate with God, and he will direct your paths. Don't trust in anything else except Jesus. It is better to trust God, Psalm 118. It's better to trust God than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Don't trust humanism. Don't trust the political system. It doesn't work. Man is not the center of the universe. I had a guy ask me one time, well, what if you're wrong about Jesus and heaven? And I said, if I'm wrong, I got nothing to lose. If you're wrong, you have everything to lose. Is God really real? Yes, he is. Let's pray. And I would pray, and the presence of God would come down. Look up and see that the fields are white to harvest. Anyway, that's all we're going to talk about today. I want to thank you for joining me. Seek God's kingdom. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com is how to get a hold of me if you want to give into this ministry. The books from me are $20. That includes shipping. SOS, a 50-day journey into the heart of God, geared for 5 minutes a day, 5 to 10 minutes a day in devotional. And then this book here, From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. It's testimony of how I came back and got healed from my nervous breakdowns. Very simple, and there's resources in there for you as well. $20 from me. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com, and you can get the books there. And if you get them from me, they're $20, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, and I'll get you the links on how to send the money, and then we will get those books out to you. All right? Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.